We thank you for this passage. We thank you for this letter. And we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds and help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're starting a small series in Hebrews chapter 12. So we're looking at this one chapter. And Hebrews is a very interesting letter. In the New Testament, it was a letter which was written before AD 70. We don't quite know when. We don't quite know who wrote it. But it was addressed to Jewish Christians who were converted from Judaism. And the reason it was written to them was it because they were very tempted to go back to being Jews. Or to actually turning Christianity into a more of a Jewish religion. And the writer is trying to explain what the difference is and why they should keep on following Jesus. And the overall theme of the letter is around the supremacy of Jesus and how he is the revealer and mediator of God's grace and his plan for us. So that's the idea of the letter. The previous chapter, which we just heard about in terms of the different people, is a great example of the heroes of faith. And how they exercise faith in the Old Testament. It's an amazing chapter. And it's one of those chapters which actually is so encouraging when you see how God was working out his purposes all the way through the Old Testament. But despite the fact that these people were heroes of faith, it tells us this at the end of chapter 11. It's verse 39 and 40. Yet all these things, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so they would not be without us. So they would not without us be made perfect. Now, in chapter 12, what the writer goes on to tell us about is what is this something better that was promised? Okay, so the beginning of it, chapter 12, opens this way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings to us so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race set before us. It starts with this great cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you've ever done anything in front of a large group of people. When I was younger, I played rugby for a local rugby club, and we went on tour to the West Country. And we were due to play three games. But our first game was cancelled about the day before. But we'd gone down there for a tour, and so that the captain decided to find us a team. And actually, we arrived at the ground and found the opposition being very serious about their practice before the game. To be honest, what they were going through before the game really wasn't what we used to do in training. So, you know, it was very... Now, what we found out is they were due to play in the final of the county championship the day after. Okay, and therefore, we were completely outclassed. We were not of that standard. They had 12 county players in it. We had none. We were used to playing in front of three people and a dog. And they had 300 spectators. The only good thing was that actually after a few minutes of the game, about 5 minutes, the crowd realized actually this was a complete mismatch. And they changed their allegiance and they started to cheer for us. It was so motivating that actually meant that everything you did got a clap. I put in a tackle in front of the grandstand and got a virtual standing ovation. It was fabulous. And it made us play better. Well, I would love to tell you that this galvanized us and we got the most improbable result because of the crowd. Nope, we lost 96-0. But we got a standing ovation at the end when we left the pitch. And it actually, the support of the crowd made us feel a lot better for the fact we'd just been smashed out of sight. The other two games went much better and we won them both. And I don't know if you've ever had that, but where you actually do something and you've got this group of people cheering for you. This passage tells us we have a crowd watching and cheering for us. And these are the heroes of faith whose life and example have been encouragement to us. It lists all those people of heroes of faith, the witnesses. Who's inspired you in your Christian life? Who in the Bible has inspired you? And who other Christians have inspired you? One of the big ones that's inspired me is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis's writings have inspired me and encouraged me. And he is, for me, one of the great heroes of faith. We should be aware of a multitude cheering us on. But why? Well, the race that we're in is an endurance race. It is not a sprint. Verse 1, let us run with perseverance the race that was set before us. Notice the word, perseverance. It's actually, following Jesus is often likened to a race that we're running in. For each of us, this race is slightly different. The end is the same, to be with Christ. But for each of us, this race is slightly different because we have different obstacles and different barriers and different problems that get in our way. It has been laid out before us. We've not determined it. God has. But for each of us, we've got slight problems we've got to overcome. It's not simply we must run the race, but we need to recognize that we have baggage that we take with us. Verse 1 again. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. I'll give you an example of this, a little practical example of what this can look like. And as you know, we like to get people involved. So we're going to have a little bit of a father-daughter challenge. At this point, my daughters are going, oh my word, it's going to be us. No, it's not you two. It's Taya and Mark. So if you could come up here, that would be great. At this point, they're sitting there thinking, thank goodness for that. So, fabulous. Okay. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge. What they've got to do is very simple. No, not that yet. That's later. That's sort of it. What you've got to do is, in 1 minute, you've got to put your hands crossed in front of you, and you've got to bend down and back up again. You've got as many as you can in 1 minute, okay? Fair? And so, you count for Taya? Sel, you counted for Mark? Okay, I just need to even things up a little bit. Hold on a second. So, Mark, if you could pop this on. Come on. That's fabulous. Just sort of, you know, I'll just click you in just in case there's any sort of, you know, health issues or...
Not yet.
No, okay, fine, fair enough. Okay, so remember, let me just make sure you don't, when you fall over, if you fall over backwards, you don't hurt yourself. Are we ready? Okay. Your 1 minute starts now. Your turn. 15 seconds. Last 20 seconds. 5 seconds. Give it a last big effort, Mark. Come on. Okay, stop. Excellent. How many? 44. So? 44, excellent. Now, who looks more tired? Mark, okay, fair enough. So, you know, it's like, you know. Okay, Mark looks tired. Okay, thank you so much. If you sit down. I'll just go into exactly why Mark looks so tired. Because what he was doing is he was carrying a few burdens. So he was carrying envy. And he was carrying, what else have I got in here? Lust. And he was carrying things about his reputation. And he was carrying, what else was he carrying? Pride. And he was carrying... So what else have I got in here? There's some more. Excellent. Materialism. And he was carrying desire. I think that was it. Did you feel like you were carrying that lot? Yeah, I thought you might. He can't talk at the moment, so you know. These are all things. So Mark was burdened with all this stuff, and this is like us. That you know, we love to be like Taylor, that actually we can do that and it doesn't feel so much of a struggle. But we're in the Christian race and we're carrying with us our own personal things which weigh us down and cling to us, which make our race so much harder. The Christian faith is tough as it is without carrying this stuff with us. We need to put these aside. We need to lay aside the things which slow us down and wear us out. So how do we do that? How do we put this stuff aside so we can run the race more effectively? Well, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarded its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The passage tells us, we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. We focus on Jesus. Our theme verse, I want to know Christ, his power and his sufferings. I want to know Jesus. I need to focus on Jesus. I need to put this stuff aside, the things which actually really burden us. And for some of us, it's things we're not very proud of, like our desire. But for some of us, it's things like materialism, the latest gadget, the latest thing, how much money we have. We have to lay them aside and focus on Jesus. We need to model ourselves on Jesus, who is, as the passage says, the founder. He is the promise that was spoken about at the end of verse 11. We need to remember that it's all about what Jesus has done for us by enduring the cross in pain, suffering, and shame, so that through Jesus, we can have perfect obedience through Jesus' perfect obedience, we can be made perfect with God. And because of his perfect obedience, he is now in the place of honor. And he shows us how to run the race. So what do we need to do? These are two very simple verses, but what do we need to do? We need to take heart that we're not alone in the Christian life. We have a cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on. Not just those who are heroes of the faith. Not just those that we read about who are no longer with us and have died and has gone to heaven. But we have actual witnesses of faith who are running with you. Look around at the people here. No, I mean you to do that, not just to stare at me. So look around at the people around you. These are some of the witnesses of faith who are running with you. These are the individuals here in this church and elsewhere who have been given to us to help and encourage us to run that race with perseverance. We need to take that responsibility seriously. So when we meet people and they're really struggling with their Christian life, we need to take it seriously. And we need to ask them how they're doing. And we need to help them. We need to pray for them. It may be that you're having trouble being a Christian at school. And you'll probably find that nearly everybody else has a trouble being Christian at school. But talk to somebody else about it and find out what they do. Suzanne shared about how she's a Christian at work. And for some of us, that's a very difficult place because we work in a very non-Christian environment. Well, how do other people do it? And what does the Bible tell us we should do? So what does that look like for us? We need to use the people around us to help and encourage us to run the race. Also, we need to take our responsibility in that seriously as well. That we are there to encourage people. We live in a society, we live in a world which is very postmodern. What that means is it's very much, well, yeah, fine, you believe what you know, I'm happy with whatever you believe, just don't push it on me. Everybody's very individual. We're not called to be like that. We are called to be somebody who actually says, no, it's not about your individual and personal faith. It's about how are you doing as a Christian? How can I help you? How can I support you? We need to pray for them. We need to challenge them. And we need to help them, particularly if individuals that we know are really weighed down with things they find very difficult to get rid of. Whether that's selfishness or anger problems or the fact that people are fixated with pornography or the fact we're very materialistic or the fact that we lie constantly or the fact that actually we almost live a double life. They're the things that we need people to support us on and help us to lay aside. So we need to put off these things which hinder us. Sin habits. Well, you know what they are. We all know what they are. Well, I don't know yours, but I know mine. And actually, we need to put those off. We need to stop doing them. And we need to ask God's help through his Holy Spirit to help us. We need to read the Bible more and figure out what it says about something. If we don't know what the Bible says about something we're struggling with, then find out. Speak to one of the people who is in your cloud of witnesses. Google it. I don't care what you do, but find out what Scripture tells us and then stop doing it. We have to get rid of all of those things which cause us to sin and slow down. In 2015, we need to make a conscious effort to lead a life which is more focused on Jesus, the model and perfecter of our faith, than we did last year. We have to keep going forward. You can't, in Christianity, you don't ever sort of stand still, because if you stand still, we go backwards. It's about moving forward. And so we have to know more about Jesus' issues than we did last year. We have to learn more about Jesus this year than we did last year. We have to love Jesus more this year than we did last year. Each one of us needs to focus on looking towards Jesus and to be honest about the things that we get in the way of us having a relationship with him, the things that weigh us down and bind us. I'm going to read a passage from, it's a paraphrase, which means somebody's taken the Bible and they haven't directly translated it. They've sort of written a version of it, which is their sort of interpretation and far more poetic in some ways in some places. And it's a guy called Eugene Peterson, and he wrote it in The Message. He says this, of this verse 1 and 2. His translation is this. Do you see what that means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on and do it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honour, right alongside God. Keep our eyes on Jesus. who both began and finished the race and is the one we're aiming at. To finish, we're going to have a bit of a response time. And so I want you to take a pad, a bit of paper, and a pencil. There should be some on the tables. There's at least a pad, and you can then tear it out and sort of, you know. There's not enough for one pad each, particularly on the extended front row. Circle. Well, it's not really a circle. It's more of a tick, isn't it, really? So it's like, you know. Anyway, so you want a piece of paper and a pencil. And this is something that you don't have to do, you don't want to do it, but I think it would be really helpful. And that's to write down one thing that you think and you know that God is calling you to lay aside. What is it? Is it your pride? Is it your anger? Is it the fact that you like to gossip? Is it the fact that you're very selfish? Is it the fact you're very materialistic? I don't mind. I don't know what it is, and you don't have to. And you don't put your name on it, okay? So I'm not going to sit there and fish through them later on and sort of name that sin. But what we're going to do is, and I'm going to get you to sort of just write it down, and then when we're singing a song, we're going to be singing a song in a moment, and during the singing of the song, I'm going to invite you just to make your way up and just put it in the basket at the foot of the cross, as a sort of symbol of saying, actually. This thing, whatever this thing is, this thing that I know that clings to me, I'm just going to give back to Jesus. I'm going to lay it at the foot of the cross. Because that's what verse 2 talks about, that he endured the cross so that we could be forgiven. And it's just a symbol. But the symbol may mean something for you. It's a symbol of you laying aside this sin and placing it at Jesus' feet. It's almost like you're giving it away. You can assume it's like a prayer where you're saying, I want to give this to Jesus because I want to be better next year than I was this year. I'm going to give you a moment or so to think about that, and then the band are going to come and lead us, and then we're going to... And then just during the song, come up and put your bits of paper in the box.